promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Oh, we lift you high, way maker,
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
God that commanded light to shine out of darkness. You have shined in our hearts, bringing the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We bless you. We thank you for the privilege to worship, to magnify, to adore you. For to whom can we compare you? You are the maker of the heavens and the earth. You sit upon the circles of the earth. Your name is holy. The inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, yea, even before thee. But yet you humbled yourself to behold the things in the earth. Faithful God, faithful to 1,000 generations. Blessed be your holy name. We bless you, Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You are plenteous in mercies, always willing to forgive. We worship you, Father. Lord Jesus, Savior of all men, especially those who believe. You are the true God and eternal life. You sit up the right hand of the Father in majesty. Your name is holy. Ever living to make intercession for us. It's of your fullness that we have received grace upon grace. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Savior of mankind, we bless you. We bless you. Lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000, the Ancient of Days. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, sir, inner strengthener, friend that sticks closer than a brother, God that is more than enough, the helper of our infirmities, the resident member of the Godhead here on earth, the seven spirits of God, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, we worship you, sir. Thank you, because without you, we can do nothing. Commit the service entirely into your hands. Come and take control, take preeminence, glorify the name of Jesus, and bring glory to the Father. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your help. We bless you, Father, Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege to enter into your word at this time. The entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. We humble ourselves before you at this time, knowing that everything we know has come from you, and everything we ever know is already in you. We come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, and under the authority of the fathers of the church age, and under you, the Almighty God, God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, that we have the privilege to minister your word. Father, you grant us the grace to minister the word of God with power, with accuracy, with clarity, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. We pray that, Lord, a clear channel will be created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and power of God will flow, that by the reason of the Spirit and the word, you will break yokes, you will heal bodies, you will meet needs, you will enlighten eyes, you will solve riddles, you will dissolve doubts, you will bring glory to the name of Jesus, blessings to the sons of men. Father, we are not ignorant of the device of the enemy against the effective delivery and receiving of this word. And so in unity with my brethren and under the covering of our fathers, and under the lordship and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind wandering, fear, unbelief, weariness, weaknesses, irreverence, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil. All you such contrary foul spirit, we cast you out. We destroy your works, resist and bind you and break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God, the seven spirits of God, to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning the delivery and the receiving of the word in Jesus' name. Father, thank you because mercy will prevail. We thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. That's not super. Super hand clap.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's the sweet presence of God that comes down in worship is one of those few reasons that make me believe there is hope for this country. Praise the Lord. You see, I don't know about you, but probably because by the grace of God, I'm older than most of you. I've seen things. I've seen money, privilege, provision, grandiose atmosphere, but without God's presence. Really, it's vanity. Praise the Lord. It's nothing. Amen. You know what we seek for? But I've seen those things, but God was not there. It made no sense. Praise the Lord. In the presence of God, the Bible is correct. Pastor Olivia always tells us that thing. That how we can believe this Bible. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And there are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. He said, the wind. Elijah said, the wind came. He said, but God was not in the wind. Amen. He said, and then the fire came. But God was not in the fire. The earthquake came. But God was not there. Praise the Lord. Whereas in many places, we are fasting and praying, going on 7 days that in the convention that we have, let there be earthquake. But Elijah saw earthquake, but he said God was not there. He knew that was nothing. Amen. Because we have to balance at the end of the day, what are we looking for? Is it the earthquake and the wind, or we are looking for God? He saw the fire, he said, but God was not there. Amen. There are many earthquakes and fires around, and God is not there. Amen. It's good to appreciate the presence of God. Praise the Lord. It's good to appreciate God's presence. Amen. And that's how we can cultivate it and continue to live in that presence. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today I'm going to speak briefly on greater than Solomon. On what? For those who come to this church, it's been the wind we are sailing on. Praise the Lord. For one reason, is the season. It is the what? You get to Songo, Ugbomosho Mango. You get to UI, Ugbomosho Mango. You enter into UI, into staff club area, Ugbomosho. Where is Ugbomosho area? It's the season. Praise the Lord. It is the season. Greater than Solomon. Praise the Lord. You see, there's one thing we should know about God's word. I heard this from Pastor Fred Adekoke many years ago when he came here. He said God's word is at three levels. The first level is the physical understanding. Praise the Lord. Mary and his brothers, they came to where Jesus was and said, it physically happened, and physically you can get what he's saying there. Praise the Lord. See, there's a physical understanding. Then there is a spiritual understanding. Praise the Lord. And I remember that day when I started, I felt, what else can happen again after the spiritual understanding? Amen. See, there are three levels. There's a physical understanding, there's a spiritual understanding, and there's the fullness. That day I said, hey, I knew that fullness, I didn't understand it then. Say, well, there's the physical, there's the spiritual, and there's the fullness. Amen. There's the fullness. I was young. Now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. So, promise that when there's a heritage of those who serve the Lord, they will not lack. Praise the Lord. Okay? But also, when you have an heritage of spiritual fathers who seek God, their children will never lack revelation, the bread of life. Praise the Lord. Then, what in the next few years, when God starts to reveal more of himself, that definition will take another dimension. Praise the Lord. Because the fullness can never be exhausted. Amen. There's only one fullness, is God. Praise the Lord. Pastor Libby said one day, I can't forget, he said, there's only one person who is number one everywhere he goes. That's God. Amen. When I'm in my classroom, I'm number one. When I'm in my lab, I'm number one. But I know when I get to my home, I'm number one. When I get to scripture pastor, I'm not number one. Praise the Lord. There's only one person. There's number one everywhere he goes. That's God. Praise the Lord. Any human being that is trying to be number one everywhere he goes, God will soon show him his level. Amen. Greater than Solomon. There are times in this world, and that's why I'm talking of different levels of the word of God. And there are, the same Bible, you will see different gradations. The same Bible told us about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. All that is in the word of God. Amen. Word of God. Like God gives a promise to a faithful servant. He said, I'll give you the key of David. And you will open, no man shall shut. And you will shut, no man shall open. Praise the Lord. So you have just some slight work to do. You will open. Praise the Lord. But because of your faithfulness, God has given you the key. You will open. And God promised that no man can shut it. Then you will shut it. No man can open. Praise the Lord. But that's a level. Later, God told them, he said, I have set before you an open door. It's not a matter of you opening. The door is open. Praise the Lord. It's another level. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. The other one, you have to do the key. So close it. It will be closed. Open it. God, I have set before you an open door. Amen. And no man. It's a higher level. Praise the Lord. That's why we always encourage you to grow in God. Because the level you are is not God. So you grow in it higher. Amen. It's part of God, but it's not God. So it's not all of God. So you still have more of God to grow in. Amen. Deuteronomy. So that's Revelation 3. I'm sure they must have been showing it. Show me Deuteronomy 16:15. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15. 7 days, Ekao, shall thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place where the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy increase and in all the works of thy hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. So this was a promise that in all the works of your hands, God will bless it. Praise the Lord. In all the works of your hands. So you need to walk with your hands. Amen. And in that work of your hands, God will bless it. Praise the Lord. So when there is no work going on, we can't guarantee blessing. You can't guarantee blessing. Yes, there can be mercy drops, but God say, with the work of your hand, God will bless it. Amen. That is the level I believe people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were at the beginning. You know, they were faithful, they were serving God. You know, even though they didn't have a temple, but they were close to God, serving him. And God was blessing them. God was blessing them. Praise the Lord. But there was a time, the thing, it went away from the blessing of the works of your hand. He said, and God gave them. Praise the Lord. Give me Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. This one has left the realm of bless the work of your hands. It has entered another realm. Daniel 1, 17. Thank you. As for these four children before, God was blessing the work of their hands. But, and many other Israelites that were in Babylon, God was blessing the work of their hands. But in now single, as for these four children, God gave them. I want you to say it so that you understand what you're saying. God gave them. God gave them. God gave them. Because many times we are still at the realm of, let's be diligent and God will bless us. Or let's be diligent and the hands of the diligent shall bear rich. Which is good. Praise the Lord. But this is, and it's good to, from this word, to know that you can work for things, work hard, but if the realm comes, it's God that gives you. Praise the Lord. It's God that gives you. And God gave them. We need to appreciate that there is a spiritual dimension. Amen. And a godly dimension. Because anytime I say spiritual, I always try to balance it with God. Amen. Because the devil is not man. The devil too is a spirit. The devil is a spirit. But when I spiritual dimension, but of God. God gave them. God gave them. See, because these children, later when they are giving testimony, they know it's God. Amen. They know it's God. You know that time you are encouraging people, I work hard, and make sure you get your grades so you can enter into university. Enter university, you do accounting. When you finish your accounting, go and do your ICANN and everything. It's good. But we are still at the one in which we can see and calculate and permutate. Praise the Lord. It's a good place to start. But a time will come, praise the Lord, that we will break that barrier and enter a barrier that is of God. Praise the Lord. And God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That's the realm of God. Praise the Lord. That's the realm of God. Pharaoh told Joseph, who else? Who can we find that has such wisdom as this? Even the wisdom of the holy gods. Praise the Lord. This is not the one men work for. Egypt was the center of learning. Amen. Astrologers, philosophers, architects, doctors, those embalmers, those who embalm, what they embalmed, all those, they are still there. Egypt was the center. But Pharaoh said, this one, it is the knowledge of the holy gods. Amen. Say, God gave you this one. There's no man. Not in our kingdom. So you will be the head in all Egypt, only in the throne. There is a realm of God. Praise the Lord. And that's what we are doing now as Christians, as we diligently serve God, come to church, pray, read our Bibles, and we are consistent. Even that diligence, consistency, it is still us doing our best. And it's good. Praise the Lord. It is still us doing our best. And we have to keep doing all what we know to do. Hosea 12:6. Hosea 12:6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Turn to God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. That's where many of us are, by the grace of God. We have not forsaken the living God. We don't have a heart, by the grace of God, that is departing from the living God. When thy fathers tempted me, God spoke, gave a failure verdict to the children of Israel. My fathers tempted me. They proved me and saw my works. 40 years long did I bear with this generation, for they have not known my ways. But God is helping us, praise the Lord, under the covering of our fathers, read our Bibles, pray in the Spirit, walk in love, seeking God continually. Praise the Lord. Seeking God what? Continually. But there is a danger in that thing. Not that it's dangerous itself. The danger is, if you are doing all this seeking without a revelation of what is coming. Amen. Without a revelation of what is coming. One of the things that pushed us, don't let me use what we used to call it in our day, because you won't understand. We used to call it from this, from that, but let's try to fall to modern day. Maybe you are in grade 10, grade 11. But one of the things, you see, the class itself will be tough. Sometimes boring. Like my son used to say, biology is boring. But I have to sit down. have to listen to the teacher. I have to do the exam. But biology is boring. I did vet medicine. My wife did medicine. Our two boys hate biology. Not that they don't, not that is they hate it. So the day they finished the biology, they both got A stars in it. But the day they finished biology, it's like, ah, it's over. Never again. But one of the things that keeps you going in all that is, you are looking at a prize. You are looking at a prize. If I get all 8 A stars, I can get scholarship. If I get all 9 A stars, I can get an award. Yeah. So there's, and sometimes, that's sometimes the problem in Christianity. We are all doing everything, but there's no hope. There's no hope we are looking at in front. And that's the danger. We'll soon start getting weary. We'll soon start getting weary. But Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, sure and steadfast, the one that goes within the veil. That's how many Christians are not seeing. So when you are 17, 18, 20, and you are serving God, and you are looking that, ah, maybe you live long, 75, you die and go to heaven. And then you really have no picture of what these Christians are about, than I just live a moral good life, and then when I die, I go to heaven. Then there's a missing link somewhere. God didn't create you. He didn't get you born again. So I just come to church, warm the pew, read the Bible, and then one day when you die, you go to heaven. That's not why Jesus died. Praise the Lord. Say, greater than Solomon. Wait upon the Lord continually. But where's the hope? Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man. You people are not reading. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. That's where many of us are. Thank God for it. Just, devout, committed. Diligent, continuous. But I like that comma, just and what? Devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was just devout, but there was something he was looking at. Praise the Lord. There was something he was looking at. Just and devout. That's where we are. But are we waiting for something? So when a man sees something, then he patiently waited for it. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. God told him that he will not die except he sees the Christ. So to him, diligent and devout was just a stepping stone. He was doing that diligently to see the Christ. Praise the Lord. We are diligent. We are coming to church and everything. But the whole end in for our generation is that we are going to see the glory. Amen. So if your gear is that one day we'll die and go to heaven, you'll not be able to endure the persecution of the end time. Amen. Like I was sharing with someone, was it yesterday? I said, there's the house that is built on the rock. There's the one that is built on sand. The diligence of building on rock and the carelessness of being on sand does not immune you that the storm will come. The storm, nothing holds the storm. Not your diligence. Build on the rock. Fine. It's good. That's what you should do. But it doesn't hold the storm. It doesn't hold the wind. It doesn't stop the floods. Only that when you build on the rock, when those things come, you're unshakable. Then people know that, yes, this guy is solid. Amen. Like I listened from a friend told me one thing a pastor said many, many, many years ago. It's an interpretation of the scripture. The scripture says that if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The pastor said, if thy strength is small, the day of adversity will show it. It's the same scripture. It's the same scripture. If your strength is small, the day of adversity will show it. Simeon, just, devout, but he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What are we waiting for? The pulpit of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the covering of our fathers here, is not a pulpit for castigating and political talks and winch hunting. So I'm careful what I'm saying. One big problem in our university is that it's filled with many lecturers who are not seeing anything. They are just working day to day and collecting their pay. They are working day to day. Some of them are even hardworking, day to day collecting their pay. But there's nothing. There's nothing they are seeing. They are not seeing their university becoming the first ranked in Africa. They are not seeing their students becoming Nobel Prize winners. They are not seeing international investment and collab. They are not seeing, it's just, so they are just working day to day. Then they are paid. And they've done that for 10 years. But nothing has changed because there's nothing people are waiting for. We can't afford a Christianity that is just diligent, continual. Yes, I even use the word diligent, continual, but it has nothing. That's why that prayer is very important. That God, you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1. In the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance. You see, it's God that will show you that thing. Praise the Lord. We are all diligent, we are all doing, but one day somebody, Caleb and Joshua saw something else. Everybody was doing the same motion. Oh yeah, let's go. This is that. But 10 people, they were just going as they were going. 2 were going and seeing something else. Praise the Lord. And they had a different spirit. We are saying this because the scripture has said it. Many are called. Few are chosen. They saw something. They saw something. They called, all of them, the same motion. Chosen, they saw something. Praise the Lord. So there's an inner motivation. I am confident of the prayers of the fathers over years on all the youths of this house. No matter where they go, who can be complaining? They will see something one day. I have 100% belief about that for my children. My wife, when we first got married, I was seeing far ahead of her. But later she saw. Let's believe our prayers. These are our children. They will see. And when they will see them, we will start complaining. When did you start all this year? You won't sleep. Maybe you are praying for him to see. Now he saw something. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because the one we are doing now is the motion. Oh yeah, wake up. It's time to pray. Wake up. Let's continue. But one day, he will see something. He will see something. Devout, just, Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. There were many devout and just 2 people with him. But they were not waiting for something. Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let's dissect that well. There were the people of God and there was no rest. There were the people of God and there was no rest. But the third thing is that there was a promise. Praise the Lord. They are the people of God. There was no rest. But there is a promise that there therefore remaineth a rest for the people of God. Praise the Lord. People of God, those are the just and devout. But there wasn't something they were seeing. There wasn't an accomplishment of God's glory. But here, Hebrews say, there remaineth. Therefore, a rest for the people of God. Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us labor. Let us labor. That devout and just, consistent, be diligent, be doing it. Oh, I didn't say that you should just see something. It's not the doing. No. We continue in the diligence. Continue in the consistency. Praise the Lord. Continue in the labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Praise the Lord. Let us labor. David, the king, was the symbol of diligence, continuance, and labor. And he labored. Solomon is the epitome of rest. Praise the Lord. So we are the dynasty of David, but as we continue in that diligence, we are going to enter into the reign of Solomon. Praise the Lord, which is the realm of rest. There remained therefore a rest for the people of God. Thank God for prophets. They give us a timeline of where we are. It's the David's dynasty. A man after God's heart. That's why a lot of the message is talking to our hearts. Checking our priorities. Let it be about God. Amen. All this, wake up early to pray, read the Bible, bind the devil, confess the word, confess love. All those are David's labors. But shall bring him into the rest of Solomon. Praise the Lord. Acts 13, 32 to 34. Acts 13, 32 to 34. Thank you, Jesus. And we declare unto you. People don't like reading the word. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he had raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm. Anything now written in the second psalm is characterizing it with a resurrected life. Praise the Lord. The promise that he gave unto our fathers, he has fulfilled it, in that he rose up Jesus again from the dead. So that is so the interpretation now is that anything that is now coming to us is the resurrected life. Praise the Lord. It's a life not lived in, you know, Jesus lived a diligent life. Praise the Lord. Woke up a great while before day, departed somewhere and prayed. But all that one, he was not resurrected. Lived a righteous life, a holy life. But that was not the promise of the Father. The pastor always says, the promise of the Father was not Christmas. But it needed Christmas. The promise was Easter. Praise the Lord. So that was it. That promise of the Father, he fulfilled in that he rose Jesus again from the dead. Now it has brought that promise to us. As it is also written, say it. That's for you. In the second psalm, that my son, this day have I begotten thee. Verse 34, next. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. It's a resurrected life. He said, on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. That is the inheritance of Solomon. What Solomon got was the sure mercies of David, of his father. Amen. That's why when you said that one, I've set before you an open door. That's sure mercy. Amen. I'll give you a key. You lock no matter. That is still the diligence of David. But we open to open. Ah, that was the sure mercies. That's what Solomon inherited. That's what Solomon inherited. And we can read through the scriptures. We'll look at some of them. In Solomon, there was peace. All people round about came and brought presents to Solomon. In Solomon's time, there was prosperity. They said what is being provided every day in his house. Loaded. Praise the Lord. In Solomon's time, there was wisdom. The whole world came to listen. That was the sure message. And what did God now say? A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. You know the truth? That's why we need faith, oh. That's why we need faith. To believe it. And the Bible just gives us, eye has not seen. That's how, ear has not heard. Praise the Lord. You know a journey in which you really don't know what the end looks like. Praise the Lord. Okay, leave thy father's house and thy mother, Abraham, and go to a place I'll show you. Did Abraham understand where that thing was leading to? Today we are all the seed of Abraham. If you are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and sure heirs of the promise. Abraham didn't see that when they say, leave thy father and thy mother. Didn't see that. But he followed, thank you, sir. But he followed by faith. Amen. Brethren, the glory is coming. Jack up your faith. Amen. Jack up your faith. Be diligent. Come to church. But jack up your faith. Say, God, I want to be part of your glory. So that the maximum thing you can do on earth, I want to be a partaker. Praise the Lord. You know the glory. What the glory is defining is the maximum thing God can never do with a man. We saw Jesus. But he told us too that greater works than this shall you do. So the glory, the end glory of the latter house is to demonstrate the maximum that God can do with a man. Hard work, fine. Diligence, fine. Let's continue. But we enter into the realm of sure mercies. Sure mercies. We're waiting for it. We just trust God. That's why we try to keep diligent, keep away from distractions and nonsense, and make sure we are in sync with God. Make any mistake, mercy, come under the blood and stay. And keep doing the best you know to do. God will meet you there. And then God will take over. Praise the Lord. God will meet you there and then he will take over. Okay, so we'll look through four scriptures and I'll end just describing Solomon. 1 Kings 3:3. 1 Kings 3:3. Let's be quick. I want to round up in 3 minutes. And Solomon loved the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when we're talking of greater than Solomon, let's be picking some characters of Solomon that were greater than Solomon. Solomon loved the Lord. A greater than Solomon is here. He said, what is the greatest command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Amen. 1 Kings 4, 21 to 25. Peace, dominion, and prosperity. 4, 21 to 25. And Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. And they brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of blah, 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 a lot. 23, this is prosperity. 23, 10 fat oxen. I like this one. I'm a vet doctor. 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen. Ah, what's the 10 fat oxen? And 20 oxen. See, 20. Don't think the 20 oxen were small. No, no. Who will bring small anything to the king? The 20 oxen were big. Praise the Lord. But there are some oxens that, as they were born like this, they superfeed them. So in 6 months, they are already so big like a giant. Those are the fat oxens. Amen. So they are still, it's fat, but they've not grown that old. So the meat is so tender. Amen. So you had 10 fat oxens, then 20 oxens. Praise the Lord. Our boys, fat oxen. Imagine when you roast that one live. Thank you. With onions and dry and spices. Amen. There's no poverty in God. Real food. Real food that when you eat, you know you have eaten. And sheep and hart and roebucks and fatted fowls. Take it on. And he had dominion over all the region. Peace, dominion, prosperity. Praise the Lord. The church now, we are still living by faith, believing God. Later, there will be dominion. When Solomon wanted to build the temple, they said, David, when David was there, he said, Solomon, I'm not building because my own is to deliver and continue. It is the rest, the sure mercy of Solomon. But in my poverty, I provided down. The equivalent of what Solomon, David provided down then was estimated as $100 million. In my poverty, I provided this. Amen. Sure mercies. Amen. Now we are binding the devil. We pray for, but we sow the seed, we pray. Fine, let's continue on that. But later the vault will open. Praise the Lord. The dam will break. Amen. There's nothing we imagine to do that will be withheld from us. Amen. God is, pastor is saying, God is just, it's just preparing the heart. It's preparing the heart. Because now when you see money, you are happy and later money means nothing to you. That's where God wants to get. Now, later money will mean nothing. What did they say about silver in the days of Solomon? Say they packed it like heap outside the gates of Jerusalem. Silver, because it was counted as nothing. Whereas Judas gave over Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. God just showed that now. But in Solomon's time, they packed it outside, counted as nothing. But Judas gave up Jesus for 30 pieces. Wisdom. That's the last scripture. 1 Kings, go down, 29. And God gave. Remember the three Hebrew children? And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand of the seashore. And he wrote 3,000 proverbs, he wrote psalms, he wrote about trees, he wrote about books, he wrote exceeding much. Praise the Lord. Let's follow the Lord, though. He is looking for vessels, amen, to pour out his glory. And pastors, when we are talking God's glory, we are not talking praise and worship and miracles only. That's great. We are talking engineering. We are talking fashion. We are talking design. Praise the Lord. The earth, it doesn't belong to Satan. The earth is what? Is the Lord's and the fullness. Road construction, medicine, technology. All these ones that we are seeing now, that we are shouting, is mercy drops. Showers are coming for God's children. I have a student in 400 level in VET. She speaks 24 languages. Google it, Fumbi. 24. They asked her, why? He said, from the time I started learning as a child, when they first told, I was learning English in school, there was a Latin book beside me. And as I learned English, I learned Latin. And I learned languages out of hobby. And now it has come to 24. When they listed some of the languages, I've never had those languages before. I didn't talk of learning them. Just the name of the language, I have no idea. Chinese, Twi, Hindi, French, German, and those ones are even common. 24 languages. They are signs of what God can do with a man. There are signs of what God can do with a man. Photographic memory, electric memory, language learning skills, and then with signs and wonders following. Praise the Lord. Any sign you see written in the Bible, they are samples and lower level of what the end time will show. Me, I saw sun stand still. That is still lower level to what will happen in the end. There is no miracle that will have been done that will surpass what has been done in the end time. None. Not one. And even scientists today who calculated rotation, they still saw that missing gap of a 24-hour rotation. They say it's a missing gap. What's missing gap? Go to Joshua and you see the missing gap there. We bless God. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Brethren, what's my take-home message? Let's be diligent in what we are doing. This Bible reading, this prayer, this love confession, this fighting the sin nature, it's not a waste of time. Praise the Lord. And we are not doing it for his doing sake. Let's be encouraged to continue. To continue. I'll hand over to Pastor Lalu with this scripture. I'm not reading it. We said here before. Jesus went to pray after, I think, feeding 5,000. And then the disciples went on the sea. And then the wind was contrary. And then they were rowing, contrary to the wind. That's what we are doing now. It looks tough. But we are just obeying the Lord who said they should go to the other side while he's praying. Tarry ye in until. That's what we are just obeying the Lord. But it's, but later in the fourth watch. Amen. Before the dawning of the day. They said, and Jesus walked on water. And made the other spirit. And then his Bible now says, suddenly they were on the other side. Amen. That other side that looks so far, and you will be there suddenly. Amen. You will be there what? Suddenly. You're going to be there. But it's God that will do it. You know you did your best, uncle. But when you are giving testimony later, Olaoni. You'll be there at the other side. Suddenly. But will you not give up? No. Keep rowing. Keep it. Keep it. Diligence. Labor. That you may enter into rest. Again, let's give the Lord a super hand clap.
Praise the Lord. Let's give it a clap offering. We give God the glory. We thank God. Just a few words from what Prof has said, just to encourage us, you know, I'm not going to say much, but the emphasis and points that I think that we should work on, you know. Hebrews 12. Give me Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. About, you know, having something set before us. It's important that you know that this Christian race you're running, you're not just running because other people are doing it. You're not running because the pastor has said it or because the pastor has taught it, you know, because you were brought to church, you know, because you gave your life to Christ. It doesn't end there, you know. It's the point that you have your own personal revelation. And that's what is going to motivate you. And when Prof was talking about, you know, having a hope, the scripture that kept coming to my mind was Hebrews 12, you know, about the Lord Jesus. And says in Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, we're going to read it together. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, like Solomon, like David, and he mentioned them in Hebrews 11, like the Jephthah, like Gideon, like Joshua, you know, all the guys in the Old Testament, including the guys that we've also heard of in the New Testament, like Paul, Peter, you know, and we even have more in the contemporary times, Kenneth Hagin, E.W. Kenyon, you had Smith Wigglesworth. You know, if peradventure you don't know about these chaps, you need to start doing research in your free times, you know, to learn about them and the kind of great miracles that God did through their hands, because those things are about to start again. You see, it might be difficult to believe, and those are the things that we need to quickly uproot, because those are the things that can hinder us from partaking of these things, and it's not be our portion in Jesus' name. Unbelief is a major thing you need to deal with, that we need to deal with, each and every one of us. You know, the bitter root of unbelief, the Bible says. We'll read it in Hebrews 4. The kind of thing that tried to hinder them from possessing the promised land. We don't even need to talk too much about it, because when 12 people went, how many brought back good reports? 2. 10 did not bring back good report because of their unbelief. They saw the giants in the land. That was what clouded their minds. That was what dictated their thoughts, you know, and what they believed, you know. And so for us, it says, therefore, wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us do what? Run with patience, perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross of waking up early to pray, endured the cross of denying yourself, endured the cross. Of course, your own cross is not sickness, is not going to a cross, a typical cross, a physical cross. Your own cross is self-denial. My own cross is self-denial. Waking up early to pray, Bible reading, fasting, fellowship, taking time out, you know, to spend quality time with God, meditation, you know, all those spiritual disciplines that are essential, you know. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising the shame. You know, like Moses, the Bible says Moses left the thing of Egypt to bear. Let's see it. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Yeah, you know. Hebrews 11 verses, where is that? Hebrews 11 verse, let's see it from here. So we have from verse 23, 25, 23, I'll just talk about that. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, like you and me, by his mercy and grace. We are proper children in Jesus' name. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Observe that by faith, these guys were living by faith. Faith, you are going to live by faith, and you are going to achieve and possess it by faith. Esteeming the reproach of what? Christ's greater riches than the what? Treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the world. Esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He esteemed the seeming sufferings in Christ and disciplines that he had to go through in Christ than the pleasures, fleeting pleasures, that the worldly system had to offer him at that time. And the promises and the temptations and the lies of the devil. Are we together? So going back to Hebrews chapter 12, you now see that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And we know that our own cross is self-denial and this spiritual disciplines that we have to take up. Despising the shame of not being like other people, like the world system, or thinking like them, or talking like them, or behaving like them. And he's now what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's the same thing we are talking about today. To be greater than Solomon, there is a process, and you must have that personal revelation and that hope. The solution to the world problem is not coming from America, it's not coming from Europe, it's not coming from Australia, it's coming from you, from within you. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he says that a greater than Solomon is here. Who is that greater than Solomon? It is Christ. Who is that greater than Solomon? It is Christ. And where is he? In you. In you and me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The earlier we recognize that the solution to the world problem, the global problem, or community problem, or national problem, or personal problem that we have is the Christ in us. And that waking up to that responsibility and waking him up and allowing him to grow and have his way in our lives, his thought pattern through the word, he's not going to be outside this word, his way of thinking, which basically is faith, hope, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, his character. The earlier we come to that, the faster we'll be able to solve these world problems and issues that we are facing, personally and globally and nationally. Are we together? When we recognize that the hope and the responsibility lies in our own very hands. Well, I don't want to say our own hands alone, But of course, God has put it in our hands. The earlier we recognize that the solution to the challenges that we are facing is not coming from somebody or from somewhere. So that the Pharisees, the Lord just talking about them, they compass land and sea. Say it's not in heaven. Neither is it in earth or beneath the earth. The word is what? Near thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that you may do. The earlier we recognize and begin to put this word in our mouth and put this word in our hearts, then be able to begin to do them and practice them, the earlier we will begin to walk in the reality of what we have, the promises that are in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not coming from any other place. Oh. It is already in you and me. And all we need to do is to wake up, allow it to grow. Allow that nature to grow. And the way it is going to grow, it is through these things that we're hearing, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, because that is the person that is greater than Solomon. Are we together? You know, like Prof was talking about, the confirmation for me, because I have been praying unusual prayers for innovation, for wisdom. And I've told you here, of course, it's not something I've kept personally. One thing I just know that we all need to start it up. If we haven't started it, we all need to continue consistently. And like I said, and like Prof emphasized, faith is very important in this thing. The giants are there, and it might not be something that is popular or you even think or even dream for yourself, or you've seen yourself even fulfilling. You know, this kind of wisdom greater than that of Solomon, is it really mine? Is it really possible? You know, can I really walk in it? Is it really going to happen? The problems I'm having, is it really going to be solved? Is it really this Christ in us, the hope of glory, that is the solution to these challenges that we are facing? You might have that, but I need to let you know that you need to have the word of God that is going to help you develop and grow and build up that faith. And of course, it's not going to be any other thing apart from using the blood of Jesus, which will give you right standing before God. The word of God, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word. You need to load yourself with the word of God. You have that responsibility to keep hearing the word of God, these kind of things that you're hearing. And then the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, the scripture confirms it. So building yourself up on your what? Most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to give you wisdom and revelation. He begins to give you understanding. He begins to give you guidance. You'll be at the right place at the right time. You'll be hearing the right thing. He's one that is going to give you faith, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so one of the prayers I've been praying is that prayer that Prof mentioned about Daniel. He says that, let's just read it together. See, you need to keep saying, you need to have the word in your mouth. Even as much as we're talking about the glory and the anointing and the Spirit without measure coming down upon us or rising from within, you know, there are things that are going to trigger it. There are things that are going to start, you will have to start doing for you to provoke that thing. Do you understand? To work. Because you see, what's going to happen is this. I don't know it all, but I can tell you. There's going to have to be a sync between, Prof, when we talk about Chronos, there are two time seasons. Kairos moment and Chronos. Kairos moment is our divine time, I believe. Appointed time. There is going to be an appointed time. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's going to be that Kairos moment. There's going to be that Chronos moment where you and I are doing what we need to do in the natural. But there is also going to be, sir? Exactly. Time by time. But there is also going to be that destined, prophetic, appointed time of the Father. It's like heaven and earth. They will sink together. It says righteousness and peace to have kissed together. Mercy and truth have met together. Something is going to have to happen that, you know, it's just align. And it will not be that, okay, we're just waiting for the heaven to align and do their own part. We on earth, we need to be doing things. And before we read that, Daniel, just to prove that one to you, let's quickly see about the Lord Jesus. We'll soon end. When that heaven was about to open, did Jesus just walk into it, sha? Did you just stroll into it? Shabi Baba Mini, you know, Baba Ni now. You will do it. God will do it ministries. Give me Luke, or was it John? When the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, when he was entering, I'm coming back here, we'll probably end with this. When he was entering the Jordan to meet John, Jesus was doing something. Luke 3, 21. Thank you, Prof. Prof picked that thing. Luke 3, 21. Luke 3, 21. I want to see it myself as well. Yes. Okay, great. Yes. Now, observe that before this happened, John tried to stop Jesus from coming because he had known his cousin, and he had known that his cousin is spiritual. He had known them from while they were younger. Like, this guy is spiritual, and he's even the one that is supposed to baptize me. But Jesus had that attitude, a key, which you and I need also at this time, humility. All right? You keep developing humility. Keep working on it. And the next thing that, and the key thing about humility is submitting to God's will, submitting to God's word. Now, when finally John said, okay, Jesus said, look, we must fulfill all righteousness. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, what? Being baptized, humility, and doing what? Praying. What happened? The heaven was opened. Jesus didn't just walk in. Don't worry, I know that the heaven will be opened. The Holy Spirit will. He was doing his own part. And so you and I need to start doing, we need to start doing our own part if we've not started. Or if we've stopped by reason of the fact that you didn't have, like Paul said, that thing was very important. The goal to win. The goal to achieve. Spiritually now, destiny and purpose. The goal to fulfill your destiny and understand why you're here and why you're doing what you're doing. Why I'm doing what I'm doing. Are we together? And so with that, understand that he was now, the Bible says that this is the labor part. He was praying. What happened? The heaven was opened. Are we together? There is a thing and a part that you have to play. And that's why I was saying that the word is nigh thee. In thy mouth, you are going to be saying the word. You need to be saying the word about different areas of your life. And about this purpose and destiny of fulfilling it, whether it seems conquerable or unconquerable to the carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity with God. Do you understand? The devil in the air, the carnal mind, unbelieving Christians, and unbelievers, the world itself, they are, of course, forces against you and me. But the word must be in our mouth and in our hearts that we may do. And so what the Lord just was doing, the Bible says that praying. And praying, what happened? The heaven was opened. Now, let's just end with that, Daniel chapter 4. You know, because we're talking about the word in our mouth and our hearts, you know. And I was telling you that I've been praying for innovation. And I've been confessing and declaring the word. There are some things that can it ever happen? Those kind of prayers, those kind of thoughts that will come to you, can it ever happen? That is the very thing you need to start praying about and seeking in your life. Do you understand? Because you see yourself fall below what's the word to use now? You see yourself bound below the glass level. There's a word, when you don't break the glass ceiling, you see yourself limited. Anything, any thoughts that seems to capture you or hold you captive and ransom in your mind or in your lifestyle, I say, can it ever happen? That is that very place you need to start attacking. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you start praying against and using the word of God for. And so it says in Daniel chapter 1, hurry up. As for these four children, thank God in my house, presently we are four. So the thing really fits us. It's not as if God can't add to us in Jesus' name. As for these four children, what happened? As for this fortune, as for four of us in this house, you might be more. It's not just for four children, please. Just what I'm saying. We have better covenants with better promises, better mediator. So, you understand what I'm saying? So, don't try and start limiting to the letter. As for this four children, God gave them what? Knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. I pray this, and sometimes when I pray it, something might not happen that day. Nothing seems to happen. Just keep saying it. You need to keep declaring the word of God and Jesus praying. See, the Kronos will kiss and meet the Kairos. And let me tell you, there's a lot to tell, but that's why You see, that's why there's nothing else I can do apart from invite you to church. What we can do in fellowship is to stimulate and motivate us to come to the larger parlor where you have the bigger feasts. Because something is going to happen. You don't want to be amongst those that are were the first to hear it and last to partake. God, that will not be me and your own my own portion in Jesus' name. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to be in the forefront when you hear these things. If you don't, especially if you don't have a local church, don't play around on Sunday. Come to the local church where you hear these things. The timing is close, critical, is now. You understand? And there's a feast that God, they are the feasts of Israel that God uses. The feast of Passover is when we do Easter. The feast of Pentecost was when they did, was the outpouring of the Spirit. There's one more feast that they do in Israel that has not been fulfilled, but it's about to be fulfilled, which is a feast of tabernacles. It's a feast of fullness, the ingathering, harvesting of fruits, where we are going to harvest the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the nations. And it's going to be sometimes in September, October. That's when the feast. If we key and align with heaven, the appointed time and the chronos will meet together. If we are doing what just is way of praying continuously and doing what we want to do, the heaven will be opened. Do you understand? And there will be that pouring of the Spirit, even greater than it was in the time of the Acts of the Apostles. And so this was what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. God gave them what? Knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams. To make it a bit practical, let me just say it like I wrote it down. So when he came to me, and this is what I say every day, Daniel 1. I say, as for me and my household, God gives us knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And we have understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, go to verse 18. Go to verse 18. So, I've taken verse 17. Now, it says, now at the end of days. In NIV, it says, and now at the end of times. What times are we? We're in the end times. So, I have put, now in this end time, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which we are examined, we are found 10 times better than all our peers in this realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm taking the word of God. The word of God must be in my mouth and in my heart that we may do and experience and participate in. And finally, 1 Kings 4:29, God's word, which I've been saying, like Prophet was talking about greater than Solomon. God gave Solomon. So I say, God gives us wisdom, keen insight, and a mind as limitless as the sand on the seashore. May this be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So have those scriptures in mind. Keep saying it. That day, you might still go to class. If there is a class. We keep praying that the class will open in Jesus' name. It might still be the natural limitations might still affect you that day. Keep saying it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Satan will try and intimidate you. And he will try to bring it to your attention. As for you four children, I don't see any innovation in your life. Oh, don't listen to him. Keep saying it. Are you listening to me? Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Irrespective of the different areas of your life and of my life that we need to talk about, keep saying it. Believe in your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Pray in the Spirit about it. And you will experience it. You will do it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. For the works that he has done, we will do and greater. Let's bow heads as we pray. Father, we just thank you so much. We acknowledge you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work of humility you are doing in our hearts. Thank you for the roots of unbelief, Lord God, that you are removing from our hearts, Lord God, granting us mercy and grace that we may labor by faith to possess the land, to inherit our inheritance, to enter into rest, that which seemingly seems impossible. Lord God, with God, nothing shall be called impossible. Thank you, Lord God, because you will continue and you will cause faith to now spring up in our hearts. Faith which works by love. Thank you because you will help us to keep ourselves in your love, to speak the love of God, the word of God in truth, that we may speak it in love, that we may grow up into him in all things. For love is the fertilizer. Love is that soil where faith and peace and joy and love and goodness and mercy and meekness can grow and can grow. And as they grow, they are nourished. And as they are nourished, they grow stalwart in your heart. So begin to speak the truth of God's word in love. Begin to speak love every day. For love is patient. Love is kind. Love endures long. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love believes all things. Love has faith. It believes the best. It hopes all things. It never fails. So when I'm keeping myself in the love of God and I'm speaking love and I'm thinking love, love loves righteousness. So love can conquer immorality. So when you are in love, you are in God and you have all things and you are able to build yourself up. You are able to hope all things. You are able to believe all things. You will never fail. And so with love, you are in an environment and atmosphere where faith can grow and faith can conquer and faith can work. For faith worketh by love. And God is love. The fullness of him that dwelleth in bodily form. That is love. That is God. God is light. God is creativity. God is innovation. And when light and knowledge and innovation and creativity comes, will you have the character to carry it? Yes, if you are keeping yourself in love, which is God. For God and love are one. God is love. And love is meek. Love is humble. So it is not possible for you to have light, which is God and creativity and innovation, and be proud if you have allowed love to work and conquer you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the guarantee that we can be like Jesus. Humility, it is possible. Connectivity with you is possible. Truth can set us free. Meekness and lowliness of heart can abound. Grace can abound. Light and life can be possible, abundant in our lives. Creativity that we've heard, greater than Solomon, is possible in character. It's possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you will cause your kingdom to come, your mercy to reveal, your love to abound, your truth to set us free, your blood to cleanse us. You will energize us, O Lord God, and you break the stronghold of pride, of fear, of worry, of anxiety, of depression, of darkness from our midst in the name of Jesus. Iniquity will no longer abound, especially unbelief, but rather faith, hope, the fruit of the Spirit will begin to abound and germinate as the water of life, Lord God, flows within our hearts and our lives and has its course throughout the entirety of our system, so that this seed of your word and of the fruit, O Lord God, of your Spirit, O Lord God, can germinate and abound and subdue us in abundance. For where iniquity abounds, grace did much more abound. In Jesus' name, let's just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Joseph. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your life and your light and Makaya, your love and our from our spirits of Katoria, to our souls, wisdom, wisdom, strength, in our wills, minds, emotions, in our body circumstances. Thank you, Father, in our intellect and heed up a shaka, DNA, changes, transformation, in our bodies, in our circumstances, in the original heavenly Zolobakaya, seek a door for Zakat in our circumstances and relationships, a Katoria, activities, a Katoria, Malakaya, and our learning, the Kadia, deliverance is a Katoria, help us in Katoria, thy kingdom come, for truly a greater than Solomon is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise.